welcome to Xylene Voices. This is Dawn Poulos, and I am your host for this educational podcast series. Xylene Voices features interviews with today's top industry analysts, consultants, and practitioners in the field of learning. Our experts discuss key issues affecting the evolution of training and the ramifications on the way we learn and how we perform. Our guest for today's podcast is Dr. Ann Quinn. Dr. Quinn currently serves as the Vice President of Interactive Learning at CallSource. Previously, she was a partner and director for Clark Training and Consulting, where she taught instructional design and e-learning and consulted with numerous Fortune 500 clients. In her over 20 years of experience, Ann has worked on numerous e-learning programs, winning 3 Cindy Awards and being named as a top 100 producer by Multimedia Producer Magazine. She holds a PhD in instructional technology from USC and is the co-author with Dr. Ruth Clark of the book, The New Virtual Classroom. And today we are going to talk to Dr. Quinn about designing for the virtual classroom. Dr. Quinn, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've helped a lot of training organizations with the design of their virtual classrooms. Overall, what are these companies trying to achieve, and what trends are you seeing emerge?
The adoption of e-learning is motivated by a desire to save money. That's number one. Companies realize they could save on travel costs if they didn't have to fly employees and trainers around. At first, we had what is now called asynchronous e-learning, which is posted content the user can take anytime. But that was relatively expensive to produce compared to the virtual classroom or synchronous e-learning, which has a standard interface in tools such as WebEx and Centra and is led by a live remote instructor. A benefit of the synchronous aspect is that students know they have to be logged in at a certain time, so they're captive. The freedom of asynchronous e-learning led to some people not taking or not finishing their assigned courses. Synchronous can be easier to update as well, which is another benefit. One trend is just the increase in adoption. The e-learning guild reported that the plan of most organizations is for more synchronous learners and more synchronous sessions.
So synchronous e-learning is clearly providing a number of benefits, and companies are rapidly moving in this direction. So let me ask you this. Are virtual classrooms in any way altering or changing the teaching process?
Those who teach in front of a class say that they miss the nonverbal cues that indicate a student is confused, etc. Virtual classroom toolmakers have tried to replicate student feedback with icons of raised hands, smiley and confused faces, thumbs up, thumbs down, etc. Synchronous teachers should use these icons to stay in touch with their students by saying, for example, "Click on the smiley icon when you are done reading the passage."
What are the biggest mistakes training organizations make when they design the virtual classroom experience?
Virtual classroom sits at the intersection of asynchronous e-learning and the physical classroom, with some of the best and worst attributes of each. Unfortunately, any medium can get a bad reputation if the wrong model is followed. Designers need to learn the unique capabilities of each new medium. Putting a non-interactive, linear lecture online certainly doesn't improve it in the potentially alienating format of the virtual classroom. Lack of interactivity is not good.
You talk about the importance of interaction, and there are a lot of tools out there to support this, such as chat, polling, audio, etc. Are some forms of interaction better than others?
Interactions that let everyone participate at the same time versus just letting one person participate are the best. So imagine the instructor wants to pose a question. For the student response, compare the audio feature, which allows only one person to talk, to a polling question, which lets everyone answer at the same time and therefore forces them to think and participate. You can also design a whiteboard activity in which everyone annotates at the same time. If this gets too messy, you can assign numbers to the students, who are then directed to write in their numbered cell in a table. Application sharing has the same problem as the audio feature. Only one student can use it at a time, unless you put the students in breakout rooms, in which case there is more opportunity for participation. However, in this case, one person from each group must have the application, and it is best to create very clear directions and deliverables for these sessions, since the instructor can't be in all the breakout rooms at one time. You also probably want to assign a leader for each group, who then reports back to either the instructor or the larger class. The chat function lets everyone participate at once, but if the responses are long or if there are a lot of people, the answers will scroll by quickly in the chat window. You may want to ask students to wait to send their responses until you say send. That way, students can't just see the first answer and copy it.
You also talk a lot about collaboration. Now, in your view, is this a mainstream practice yet? And if not, what do you think it will take to make collaboration a regular part of the virtual classroom?
In corporate America, I don't think collaboration or work outside the training session in general is a mainstream practice compared to what's happening at universities. Corporations like to get the learning done in the allotted time. No homework, no group activities outside of class. Of course, there are exceptions, such as within some management training programs. The time outside of class is hard to estimate and control, and this outside time may require a mentor to be available to help students and answer their questions. Research has shown that well-structured collaboration can help students better understand a topic, so this should be shown to decision makers. Also, if the collaboration tools are in place, that helps.
So based on your experience, what are some of the best practices for designing the virtual classroom?
Designers need to include a number of visuals in their courses. The virtual classroom is a visual delivery medium. Just as in any other type of training, the courses should include realistic examples and practice exercises. Consider including case studies and project work. Also, even though this is an instructor-driven medium, students need time for contemplation.
Well, we've covered a lot of topics today. Can we close out today's podcast by learning more about the book that you co-authored with Dr. Ruth Clark, The New Virtual Classroom?
The book has a practical design focus, but with a foundation in research. We show you what works and why, and how to implement it. We also include a lot of visuals, diagrams, screen captures, and even comics. And we ask a number of people from the field to contribute what we call expert forums, which are short essays on their experiences. And lastly, the book comes with a CD, which has templates, checklists, and examples.
And this concludes today's podcast. Dr. Quinn, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for the chance to participate.
You can learn more about and purchase Ruth Clark and Ann Quinn's book, The New Virtual Classroom, which was listed as a best training product in 2007 by Training Media Review, at the Clark Training website. You can also download the eLearning Guild's free digital handbook on synchronous e-learning and check out Dr. Quinn's chapter, How to Design for the Virtual Classroom. You can do this at the eLearning Guild website. You can find links to both these sites at the Xylem Voices homepage, located at www.xylem.com/podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Xylem Voices, an educational podcast series sponsored by Xylem.